We now begin the fourth perek of Maseches Edios. This is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph 4:1, and the theme of the perek, says the Mishnah in its opening words, is Eil Devarim Mekule Beis Shammai Umechumrei Beis Hillel. The following Mishnayos will list out the various disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where the strict opinion is Beis Hillel and the lenient opinion is Beis Shammai. That's rather uncommon. Typically, Beis Shammai are the strict ones, so therefore those interesting, unusual machloksan are collected here in this perek. It's quite a famous perek, and collects topics again from all over our culture, Kula. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. The halacha, of course, will follow Beis Hillel in all these cases. The Mishnah begins by saying the first case, which is Beitza Shenolda B'Yomtov, the egg which is laid on Yomtov. Now, this is the opening Mishnah of Maseches Beitza. In my mind, this is one of the most complicated sugyas in all of Moed, and I will refer you, if you want the full treatment, to go see that Mishnah over there, and I have a recording on it. The short of it is, very short of it is, Beis Hillel hold, there's a halacha d'oraisa all to itself, which was referred to as hachana d'rabba, Rabba's preparation, but it means, in short, that there's a restriction on Shabbos or Yom Tov to use food which wasn't prepared the day before on a Yom Chol, on a non Shabbos or Yom Tov day. The preparation has to happen on a regular, you know, called regular Friday as opposed to a Yom Tov day. It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk is in the context of talking about the collection of the man, the manna from heaven, where the pasuk says, V'haya b'yom hashishi, on the sixth day, meaning like a regular Friday, a regular Chol day, v'hechinu es asher yaviu, what you're going to bring and has to be prepared. So it's preparation from before. And the idea is that even food which is prepared, as the Mishnah puts it, by Shammai, meaning by natural forces, it doesn't matter that a human being was involved in preparation, but a separate rule is that the food you're eating has to be pre-prepared, if you will, before Shabbos or Yom Tov on a whole, not Yom Tov for Shabbos day. So the issue with the egg, the primary issue is, according to Beis Hillel, that since you have this Hachana de Rabba problem, the problem of, you know, the egg being prepared on the day before, if the day before was, say, Shabbos, today's Yom Tov, so the egg, which was in like the egg making factory, so to speak, of the chicken, was doing, and the Shemaim, so to speak, natural forces were preparing that egg on not a whole day, but on a Shabbos, which means that the egg, which is laid on Yom Tov, becomes forbidden. Okay? It's not an issue of muktza per se at all. It's not the issue of no lotted muktza. It's the separate issue of preparing the food the day before, which is not a whole day. Okay? Now, once you can't eat the egg, of course, at that point the egg becomes essentially useless and therefore becomes indeed muktza. Okay? But muktza is like a effect, not the cause of the isser. Okay? This would apply equally to a Shabbos and a Yom Tov, but of course on Shabbos you're not going to be eating raw eggs anyway, so it doesn't have to talk about that. And really, it shouldn't apply to a Yom Tov that falls on the day after a Chol day, right? On a regular Tuesday, if Shavuos on a Tuesday, so Monday was Chol, so an egg laid on Shavuos should be permitted to be eaten, even with these restrictions. But there's a Din d'Rabbanan prohibiting that, lest people come to eat such an egg later on a Yom Tov, which was following a Shabbos. So that's the sort of the short of it, okay? And again, you can look back at the recording over there and the Beitza, first Mishnah of Beitza, for the long of it. Inside the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, sorry, so it says, Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai Omrim Teachel, Beis Shammai say, go right ahead, you can eat it, because Beis Shammai don't hold this Hachan D'Rabba. They don't hold this restriction on food that was prepared through natural forces on a Shabbos that preceded Yom Tov. Uveis Hillel Omrim Lo Teachel, but Beis Hillel say, no, you may not eat the egg because they do hold this Hachan D'Rabba. It has to, like I explained before, have been prepared on a whole day, not a Shabbos day that preceded Yom Tov, and never even on a regular Yom Tov, where there's no, which is not on a Sunday, if you will, Yom Rishon, still it is Aser Midrabanan. Okay, that's the first topic. The second topic of our Mishnah here and of the Perek has to do with the restrictions called Bal Yira and Bal Yimatze on Pesach. Basically, to keep it simple again, there are kind of two categories of things that are forbidden on Pesach, and two categories of prohibition. So both the things that are prohibited are both chametz. Chametz is food, which is made of fermented grain, you know, of the five species, wheat, oats, spelt, barley, rye, which was mixed with water, and the flour then was left unattended for 18 minutes, and now it's considered to have been, like, have risen, fermented, leavened, and then, therefore, it becomes chametz and is forbidden on Pesach. In addition, there's something called sa'or. Sa'or of the pasuk is the leavening agent that's used to make bread. So nowadays, we add just regular, straight, you know, pure yeast that we get from the fridge, from the market. But in the time of the Mishnah, instead, what they did is they would have like a loaf of bread that was, or dough of bread that was from, you know, a previous day, and which was, you know, kind of spoiling. But the yeast there has sort of really fermented, and that would be the source where you put the leavening agent into your new dough to make leavened bread. So that sa'or, that leavening agent, it's not really food. You wouldn't eat it. It's like spoiled bread, okay? It's not food, but it's something else, which is also forbidden on Pesach. Now, there's two things that are forbidden on Pesach. One is the prohibition of eating it. You can't eat chametz or sa'or on Pesach. But there's a separate issue, which is you can't even, I'll translate it as own it. Okay, now there's two separate laven in the Torah, referred to as bal yira'eh and bal yimatzeh, which means essentially you may not see it and you may not find it in your domain. Okay, but we'll just translate that for now as the same thing twice, and it means you can't own chametz or sa'or. So there's two separate prohibitions. You can't eat the chametz or sa'or even if you're not going to own it. You can't own it even if you're not going to eat it. Now, the pasuk referring to the prohibition against owning these things is rather wordy, okay? It basically sounds like you have two separate things going on. The pasuk says, "V'lo yira'eh lecha chametz." You can't see chametz, meaning you can't own it. "V'lo yira'eh lecha sa'or," and you can't see, meaning you can't own sa'or, the leavening agent, "b'chol gvulecha," throughout your borders. So the question is, why did the pasuk go say like twice you cannot see it? Why can't it just say lo yira'eh lecha chametz v'sa'or? What's the extra wise way? Lo yira'eh lecha twice. So Beis Shammai understand from that there are two separate restrictions because there's two separate shiurim, two different amounts of how much you can't own. Okay, they say that since sa'or, the leavening agent, is like a more intense, it's more strict, and you can't even own like kind of the smallest amount that's usually prohibited for food consumption, which is a kazayas, an olives volume, whereas there's a slightly larger size, which is the threshold that the Torah is prohibiting when it comes to regular edible foods, chametz. So that measurement's called a kosevis. A kosevis is a date. So basically, you usually have kazayas is the smallest size for eating, that's an olive. Then the next size up, typically, is going to be the kebetza, the egg amount. But between the two, there's a slight, like a middle interim level called the kosevis, a date size. So Beis Shammai are going to say leniently that while you can't own even a kazayas of sa'or, the threshold that the Torah is prohibiting is a kosevis of chametz for owning. Everyone's going to agree that when it comes to eating, whether you're eating sa'or or eating chametz, and of course, I told you sa'or is not really edible, but if you eat it, it's like food. I mean, you treat it as food, it's ach sheveh, you treat it as food, it becomes like food. So then the restriction is a kazayas for both chametz and sa'or, according to everybody. But again, so the point here of our mission is on the question of how much is a threshold for how much you're allowed to own in your possession of chametz. Beis Shammai lenient says a kosevis. Beis Hillel, the strict, says no, not even the threshold is a kazayas, an olives amount. Okay. Inside the Mishnah says as follows. Beshamei omrim sa'or bekazayas. The restriction for sa'or, the leavening agent, is a kazayas to own it. The chametz bekosevis, and the chametz, it's a larger amount. It's the dates amount. Ubeishil omen zevzeb bekazayas. Beishil says no. The threshold for both sa'or and chametz is both a kazayas for owning, and everyone agrees that it's a kazayas for eating. Okay, halach in these cases again like Beishil, so everything's at a kazayas for chametz, and no eating eggs laid on Yom Tov at all.